You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. I'm your host, Matt Moore, for this episode. You can find me on Twitter at HB Basketball, joined today by Adam Mares from DMVR. Late at night after the Nuggets, thrilling, confusing, should have been a little bit easier, win over the New Orleans Pelicans, 114-111, as they get the very, very, very narrow win over.
Can I say, I think it was thrilling.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. This is the Nuggets now. This is how they're going to have to do it. You can't only expect blowouts and ball is popping and everything's beautiful. They're going to have to win ugly, and they won ugly today in a beautiful way.
Well, the only thing is, like, they were up 9 with a minute to go. Giving the ball to Brandon Ingram after a made three-pointer by Lonzo Ball for him to then dunk on Jokic to cut it to 4. And then turning the ball over again.
It was
like, the number of things that had to get, like, this is one reason why I wasn't necessarily as sympathetic towards the Pelicans fans that were very mad because Jokic very clearly fouled Zion Williamson on the final block. Are you with me on this, or are we going to argue?
I still haven't like seen the angle everybody's talking about. So I only know the like live action speed of it.
The live action, I thought it was clean. Yeah. And then like
I might just never watch a replay. I want to live in the world where it's a great block.
It's a great block. And then yeah, I saw the backside and was like, oh no, that's definitely a foul. But look,
I think Jokic was trying to foul.
You know, too. Well, it was just funny after the game, you know, because this is the thing, is like Nuggets fans are like, no, ball, like the hand is part of the ball, which is true. Like that's a rule. I'm interested
in seeing. But not in the shot though. I think there's something to in a shooting motion that's no longer true. It is true of like a swipe.
If you're going for a loose ball out of bounds, but like the Nuggets fans are like, no, like this, that, the other, and like don't take it out of context and all these things, and like Joker after the game was like, yeah, sometimes when you play hard, the basketball gods reward you,
and it was yeah, like, I love that. That's Joker, an all timer, by the way.
Joker's basically like, yeah, of course I fouled him. What are we doing here? So, fouls him on that play, but they get the win anyway. And honestly, it's just like. I just can't feel all that bad for the Pelicans because one, I'm like, look, you guys have dug yourself such a big hole by just underperforming all season. And then two, they should not have been in that game. And I'm not even saying that from the perspective of like, you know, yes, like all the things that happened late, the Pelicans contributed to in terms of they didn't take the ball that the Nuggets threw at them and throw it out of bounds. But like, the Nuggets soundly outplayed them in every phase of the game, and it was going to be over. Like this game was really not that close. If you get to either the advanced metrics or the flow of the game, it really wasn't.
It was a really bad collapse in the final 40 seconds of it, or whatever that kind of made it close. But the big story.
There's one big story, Adam.
Let me hear. What is it? Big story, huh? Must be a big time player, big guy. The biggest of guys, right?
Facu Campazzo.
Oh,
huge. He was absolutely terrific tonight. He was absolutely phenomenal. They do not win this game without Facu Campazzo. 6 of 9 from the field for 19 points, that's 10 assists, a double-double, 6 rebounds. 4 turnovers is fine. 1, especially because I think 3 of them were in the final like 2 minutes. 1 block. And only a +3 because of that late nonsensical last 2 minutes of the game, but hit the big threes to get the separation, back-to-back threes that were just absolutely massive. Play great defense, was all over the court. This is not the first one. I think he's played well consistently over the last
3 weeks. Three weeks. Oh, you go even further back than I do.
I go further. I think a lot of this is, there are guys whose numbers look better when they're next to Jokic because Jokic makes everyone look good.
Right.
And then there are players that genuinely play well next to Jokic. And I think that Facu Campazzo genuinely plays really well next to Jokic. I think having another creator on the floor of Jokic's degree is good. I think having another player that understands when Faku does something, and like when Faku does one of his insane passes, Jokic is never caught off guard. Like he genuinely makes passes sometimes where players are like, why is the ball in my hands?
Right.
And with Jokic, he like, I think he just understands the vibe. They're both birds. I think they're both birds. So I think that they play really well together. And I think that that's part of why, like, it's not just Jokic is carrying Campazzo and making him look good. And Campazzo has been bad. I am genuinely saying, I think Faku Campazzo plays really well next to Nikola Jokic.
Well, that raises a lot of interesting questions. I mean, Monte Morris could be nearing a return. Is that,
you know, the Nuggets trade Jamal Murray to start
Faku? Well, it doesn't. Okay, maybe not that big of questions, but it does in the short term just make you wonder about, okay, what's your starting lineup night one of game one of the first round of the playoffs? I mean, maybe there's more to figure out than we thought maybe a few games ago. I don't necessarily think so. But this is what I want to say about Faku before we get into the analysis, Matt. And this is, I want you to be serious about this for a second, because I know you've gotten the, so part of it is your honest opinion. Part of it is a little bit of a shtick on Faku. But here's what I love so much about tonight, and what I love so much about where the Nuggets are right now. Not what I would have preferred happen. I'd prefer they'd be healthy. I think Faku might be a winner. And there's only so much you can overcome of who you are. And like, you go up against LeBron James, he's not that much of a winner. But here's the thing. He's inspiring. And tonight, the Nuggets, and really for the last few, you know, they've just been getting hit with nothing but difficult punches over the last 3 weeks of the season. And the fact that they are still 15-3 over their last 18 games or whatever the numbers are, the fact that they keep finding ways to win, the fact that Faku is not a good three-point shooter, but in the fourth quarter tonight, he made them. And it was just, there's something inspiring and something I really like about that. And in this day of analytics, and then also super teams and like, oh, why don't we just put Harden and Kevin Durant and Kyrie together and this, and there's no mystery. I kind of like this idea of, as Joker said tonight in the post game, sometimes when you play hard, the basketball gods reward you. And sometimes there's a thing worth saying of, hey, these guys aren't that good, but man, they play hard. And there's something cool about they can beat you with that.
Did you just drop in this age of analytics? Are you going to drop a real Hooper's no next? Like, what is
this
next?
This isn't about that. I'm saying analytics is real. What it is that they've opened our eyes that there's less mystery, because we're like, no, actually, there's a logical explanation to why this thing happens or that thing happens. The Dallas Mavericks beat the LeBron's team because they shot more threes and spaced the court. Like, oh, it takes away some of the mystery. But I think there's something to this Nuggets team where you look at it and you go, there's no mystery. They're very shorthanded. There's no denying it. But you know what? They play together and they play really hard, and he represents as much of that as anybody. And tonight, he just came up clutch. There's no other way to put it. He came up clutch tonight.
Famous quote leads off the Action Network NFL pod, actually, is where I know it from. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Look, I agree with you. I totally agree with you on the premise that Campazzo is a winner. I think he has a winning attitude. I think he he's won a lot in serious competition overseas, which I do not denigrate. Like, just because the NBA is the highest competition in the world does not mean that those competitions are less or like less than what they are. Like, they are top tier competitions. They're just not the top tier competition as far as basketball in the world. He's been successful in global competitions. Like, he definitely has a winning attitude. And they're like, look, there are guys that you watch every night that do not know how to play like that. Like, there are guys that choose not to play with that kind of heart. And there are guys that I think want to play with that kind of heart that aren't able to understand the game well enough to do so. Right. And Campazzo understands the game well enough to do so and plays that way.
He's still over a maniac. He does.
That's like part of it, right? Like,
you got part of it.
But I think about this a lot, right? Because like I've said this before with the Nuggets, with various things, and like the Green Millsap combinations, which Michael Green, DMPCD tonight, by the way. But like, there's a value in the idea of sometimes you just have to, like, you got to do things and you just got to make them work. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to be, it's not optimizing. Like, this is one of the big things is I don't think that NBA teams from the top of the organization down, I think there are members that do of the organization, But from the top down, especially when you get to the coaching staff and the players, I don't think that they think of it in the same terms of optimization that fans and media think of it as.
Right.
Like, for sure. We're always trying to make, like, what's the best version? Like, what works the best? And, like, the data says that this is better than this.
Totally.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to take what they have and make it work the best way it can to play the best that they can. And, like, right now, it's like, what do you got? We have Facu Campazzo as our starting point guard. That's what we got.
Right.
And we got to make this work. And to his credit, Campazzo's made it work. Now, look, a lot of this is real. Like, we can be real about this. Like, it is. Like, you talk about metrics and, like, you know, the ephemeral nature. Well, the ephemeral nature translates a lot better when he's hitting shots.
Right.
Right.
But that's, like, what I mean is, like, I don't think – you ask me, what is he going to shoot the rest of the season? There's 12 games left. What's he going to shoot from three? I'll tell you, 33% to 36%, somewhere in there. But I just – there's something, too, at the end of the game, if you told me, like, who do you want taking the final shot, it'd be Jokic would be number one. You know, probably Michael Porter if he's wide open. But then I'd put Facu above a bunch of other guys who statistically are better just because I just – this guy just has so much heart that I'm like, you know what? I feel good with him taking a three in a pressure moment.
I don't go that far with you at all. I would actually want to win the game. But it's cool that you
– did it tonight. Won. Hey, man, did it tonight.
Did it tonight. You get the night – To go around that. And I genuinely do believe, like, I do think he's played well over the last, like, 3 weeks. I think he has been a plus. And I think that if they had not signed him, this period would have gone a lot worse. So, like, there is the Facu moment. I have provided it.
But here's the thing I'm telling you, man. You just said it. Like, I want somebody – you're like, you want to go with the numbers. And you might be right. Maybe the world is just zeros and ones. It's all spreadsheets and we just – oh, it really might be. I don't know.
But well, I think this is perfect. This is what's interesting, though. Okay, so, like, this is, like, what you're getting at here, though, is that you want the mystery and the unknown, and, like, this actually gets into, like, philosophical conversations of, like, I want to understand the universe around me, and, like, that's a lot of it. And, like, this is why things like Fred VanVleet going supernova from three in the 2019 playoffs drive me nuts, because it creates cognitive dissonance between what I know to be rational and what isn't. And I'm not as comfortable.
The world isn't perfectly rational. Like, the sports especially aren't. I mean, they do exist in this other plane. And that's
where they're also not chaotic. That's the difference. It's like they're not.
They're somewhere in between. And that's what I'm saying. Facu represents a balance to that other side. And look, Denver, if we just look at paper, no Jamal Murray, they're not gonna win. Paper says, like, they're not gonna do it. So what do we have here? We have, hey, maybe Facu goes 3-for-3 in the fourth quarter of a close game against whoever it is the Nuggets play in the clutch, you know, in the playoffs. And I don't, there's just something cool about that. Like, to me, it's worth taking the leap of faith for, because it's just so inspiring. And that's all I'm getting at.
Yeah, I'm dead inside. So we're going to take a break. Let's go take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk more about this game and how insane it was. And we'll get into some of the decisions. I want to talk a little bit about Malone and just some general stuff with Malone. Okay. We'll do that when we get back. You know, Adam, Locked On is partnered with Michelob Ultra to talk about the Ultra Player of the Week. That sparks one of three key emotions: joy, happiness, enjoyment.
Oh, all three of those. I got all three of those today.
It's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game, Adam. It's the whole game. So, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? This week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week is...
I'm curious. Who are you giving it to?
Facu.
He earned it today. He did bring joy and happiness and all those things to me.
So, I'm sure he brought it to many Nuggets fans, and he brought it especially to the fans in my mentions. So I can absolutely guarantee that he brought that joy tonight. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. Joy creates success. We'll be right back on Locked On. Back here on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for making this part of your day. Matt Moore joined by Adam Mares as we discuss the Nuggets barely getting past the New Orleans Pelicans, but they win the season series versus a team that's been kind of a bugaboo for them in recent seasons. Held Zion Williamson to 21 points on 8 of 17 shooting.
We got to talk about that.
Paul Millsap did some work tonight.
Yeah.
Old man brought the game.
He's had a couple. I feel like he's brought it a couple times, you know, recently. A nice little storyline there. And I have to give Aaron Gordon credit too. I know he's the team worst minus 14 by a mile, but you know, I thought he had some great moments against Zion as well. So the two of them, Paul Millsap and Aaron Gordon, both did a very good job. The team as a whole did a very good job. And Zion, this was a bad Zion game. Like, he still got 21. He was still, you know, somewhat efficient, but this was, for by his standards, a bad game.
With Paul Millsap on the floor, the Pelicans scored 73.8 points per 100 possessions.
It's wild, man.
Absolute lockdown defense. Paul Millsap was pivotal in getting that win. And dunked on a dude with an alley-oop tonight. How about that?
How wild was that? That was insane.
He had a joke in the post game that he's been saying all year that he could do it, and then his teammates kept throwing him bounce passes. So I was amused at that. Weird battle between Brandon Ingram and Michael Porter tonight. Like, that's a weirdly personal matchup that continues to kind of.
It should be. They're we did a pregame show over on DNVR about this very thing. I mean, they're similar aged. Ingram's 1 year older. Similar age, similar body types. You know, they're in the same category. They're fighting for the same respect, and so I think it should be personal there.
I wonder if there's an AAU story that I'm not aware of somewhere along the line between those two. But Porter, another great night, 28 points, 12 of 21 shooting, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. Yeah, he after he turned the ankle, he got a little not great. I would also say I was disappointed in his defense tonight. People were just falling over themselves trying to defend him tonight. But like, I just thought he got real hurt in transition. He wasn't ready at point of attack in transition, which you have to be versus the Pelicans. Ingram in particular, like, went right at him. Michael Malone said he thought that Porter played him really well and that Ingram was just a great player. I thought that his point of attack defense wasn't as good as it needed to be. He had a few just like weird rotations, and like a lot of the Michael Malone anger timeouts after transition buckets were Michael Porter Jr. mistakes.
That's been true for 2 years.
Yeah, I didn't think his defense tonight was as good as it's been over the last little stretch. I mean, maybe I need to allow a little bit more, though, for his offensive usage going up. Like, he's having to do a lot more, and that's going to kind of be a cost. But look, 12-21 shooting, only shot 3 of 8 from 3, but that's 37.5%. That's good enough. 8 boards, right, plus 7. Porter more than gets a passing grade tonight.
And one thing I'm really curious about, Matt, when Porter's not on the court, the Nuggets just don't have guys. I mean, they're already so shorthanded, but some of these lineups, if you just let's take Michael Porter out, let's put Jokic in, what's the best lineup you could come up with? Because Jokic, you know, you think, okay, everybody's good, but then you start thinking like Dozier and Austin Rivers and maybe Paul Millsap. Like, the lineups are not great, and it's funny how Michael Porter becomes – he was always that important as a floor spacer in this X Factor, but now he's like the one guy that you feel like can space the floor in any capacity. And then on top of that, 40 minutes tonight, don't love that. They have a back-to-back tomorrow. I would not be surprised if he gets a DNP tomorrow, if he takes a day off, especially with that sore ankle. But so I it's not that you give him a pass, especially in the playoffs. He's going to have to be a two-way player. But right now, 40 minutes a night, and there's nobody that can score on this team except for two guys.
Which I think is all why it's all the more impressive. Like, they're so offensively limited now because they're just down so much freaking firepower, and they're still getting these wins because their defense has been great. Last 5 games, they're 4th in the NBA in defensive rating, Adam. Like,
it's incredible, man.
They've just been absolutely crushing it. I mean, this stuff's hard, too. And, you know, Shaq Harrison, I give a lot of credit to.
What do you think of him?
I love him.
I like him a lot, too.
He was put on the planet for basketball fans like me. Like, I love guys like Shaq Harrison, right? Can't shoot, just drives to the rim, tries to hit tough layups, defends like a maniac. Like,
he might be a good tough layup maker. That might not be a wild thing. I think he might be good at that. I said this yesterday on a show I was doing, that he's good coast to coast. Pay attention to this now. Like, he's really quick with the ball in his hands. He gets at the length of the court, but he's also just kind of good at getting to the rim and finishing. And I think that serves Denver, actually. I think it's come in every single game that he's played in. There's been one play where he's gone coast to coast and created a switch or got a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. I just think he's awesome. I really do. Like,
his hands are elite.
Yeah, two steals for him tonight. Four steals for Austin Rivers, who had a terrible offensive night. Yeah. Don't know what to make of Rivers. If he's going to miss those shots, I don't like it's this is the, I mean, look, I checked in today. The thought process right now is that they are leaning pretty heavily towards re-signing Rivers, but it's not a done deal as far as I know.
Can I ask you a conceptual question about that? Does it make sense for them to add another? Because they're going to add a guy. They have to. Like, if they didn't add, if they did not do another contract or just sign him for the rest of the year, they have to find somebody because they just don't have enough bodies, including guard bodies. I just can't picture them going to someone else. I can't picture them being like, hey, Austin, we gave you 10 days. You didn't hit enough shots. Let's try, you know, the next guy.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to go down the Isaiah Thomas road again?
And not, I mean, it's just there's not enough time. If there was another two months or 6 weeks, like maybe, but there's what, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, we're not, that's one of the problems is like you need guys that not only are available and fit your skill set, but like they have to play minutes.
Now, Austin Rivers was, how many minutes did he play tonight? 27, 26 and a half?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of minutes for a guy that just joined the team last week.
So. Yeah, I think they wind up re-signing him just out of necessity. And I do think he'll have better games. I think tonight was a rough one, but in general, I think he'll be pretty good.
But you made a point. Defensively, I thought he was really good. I don't think of Austin Rivers as a defender. And also, I actually do think that he sort of gets the team. He understands the team, and he's fitting into that right now, which is – that's an important thing.
So – How much better is the offense with just either of the remaining like guards back? Like, I guess the question is, I feel like I'll say this. I will go ahead and give this warning sign. I feel like Saturday is going to be a pretty big splash of water.
Oh, going up against the Clippers. Yeah. Like a Clippers team that really wants it. It's for seeding. Like,
they've managed to basically get past teams that are inept. Because the Nuggets are just extremely capable on both sides of the ball. Like, Jokic is so good, and they are so well coached and executed, and Jokic enables so much that they're able to get by with hustle and effort and heart with a little bit of execution thrown in. Like, a lot of execution thrown in. Like, they're executing really well.
Here's one thing I'll say. I think you're right. Like, they play the Clippers. The Clippers, if they bring all their guys to the game, which I think they will, but you never know. But if they take that one seriously, yeah, I mean, they should beat Denver by – they'll be favorite. What do you think Vegas will set that line? It's in L.A. They would set that line at, like, 6 or 7, I would think.
Probably 5.5.
All right, 5.5. I mean, they should – that's by betting lines, that's a pretty good favorite. That means that they feel it's comfortably – one way. And if Denver lost by 20, I wouldn't be that surprised. But here's one thing I have been kicking around lately. This team does have a lot of defense. And I think they're somewhat versatile defensively. They're really volatile offensively. Like, they're going to have some games where they just can't get above 85 points or something, unfortunately. But I do think that now you have Campazzo is a type of defender that can be disruptive. Dozier is a good defender. Shaq Harrison's a good defender. Millsap, Jamichael Green, all of their players are defenders. Aaron Gordon. So I do think that's your best hope against the Clippers. It's going to be their best hope in a playoff series is, can they be a really grind you out defensive team that makes everybody 10% worse on that end of the court? And can Jokic and Porter be good enough that they just make a bunch of shots and make things happen? I don't think anybody's betting on that, but to me, even against the Clippers, that's your formula.
Is Jokic at a point now where is he going to be able to be cognizant enough to keep reminding himself like, this isn't the team we're supposed to have? Like, I worry about him because one, his turnovers have been real high the last several games. And like,
they're going to be, I don't think that's changing.
Yeah. And so like, the thing is just like, I don't think he's going to have a lot of fun. Like, this is the job. You know how I feel about that. Like, this is the job. This is what the money's for. But we also know that he's a player that really does operate on like joy and beauty of the game and all those things. And so like, I guess my thing is, I'm just like, I'm worried that the way the Nuggets have to play will eventually wear on him spiritually, I guess is the word.
Well, I think if the season was longer and he had to do this for a whole year, I think there's probably something to that. And I think in a playoff series, what will be a challenge for him, we actually should talk about this a lot as we get closer to the playoffs, but one of the things that's going to be a challenge for him is I worry that if the Nuggets look bad, he's going to look very bad. Tonight, for whatever reason, the Pelicans single covered him with Willie Hernan Gomez and didn't send a triple team, which is what I would do if I was guarding this team and say, hey, Shaq Harrison, shoot 10 threes tonight, I dare you. They didn't for whatever reason. But in a playoff series, if you're – say they go up against even the Dallas Mavericks. If I'm the Dallas Mavericks, you think, oh, he should dominate inside. Who do they have? I'm sending two bodies on him, and I'm sending one free safety in passing lanes. And Jokic probably scores not that doesn't score that well, and he has a lot of turnovers. He doesn't pass that well, and he looks bad, and people start to talk about this or that. That's the thing I worry about for him is the story will always be, look at the numbers, he looks terrible, but the thing's going to be, look, they're triple-teaming, and what do you want him to do if Shaq Harrison goes 3 for 15 from the field tonight? So to me, that's what worries him. The beauty of the game, this or that, if it was 72, 82 games he had to do this, maybe, but they're in the home stretch, man. They're just – I think he had fun tonight, and it was ugly.
Okay. That's good enough for me. Let's take a break. I want to go over the playoff picture, and I have some takes I need to get off my chest, and I have nowhere else to put them. So you're going to have to deal with my hot takes. Are you prepared for that?
Nuggets takes or these NBA takes?
All over.
Oh, let's do it. I can't wait.
All right, we'll do that when we come back on Locked On Nuggets. But first, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NFL draft is on, and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Man, that reminds me of the kick from last weekend. I want to cry. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, Adam, let's look at where the Western Conference is right now, because tonight's results were pretty, pretty interesting. So I am pleased to inform you, Adam Mares, that I have seen enough. I'm calling.
Oh, wow. Denver Nuggets. When you're calling it.
The Denver Nuggets are not going to be any lower than the number 4 seed in the Western Conference. It is a done
deal. Feels a little bit like a hot take, but okay.
I'm getting to those later. The Los Angeles Lakers are now 5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in the loss column. That's enough for me to say that over 10 games, the Lakers are not going to beat them by 5 games in the loss column. So they're not going to get passed by them or by the Mavericks, who are 6 back. So that one is done. That's great. The Nuggets will either be the 3 or the 4 seed in the Western Conference. The Clippers loss to the Suns means that the Nuggets have done it. They have caught the Clippers in the loss column. The Clippers are up 2 games in the win column. Now look, the Nuggets have the back-to-back versus Toronto. They've got the Clippers. They've got the Lakers. They've got the Knicks, they've got Brooklyn, and they got the Jazz. Okay.
A lot of tough games, man.
Now, look, the Jazz put up 154 tonight versus the Kings, but in general, they're struggling.
Hold up. They put up how much?
154.
Points?
Yes.
American?
Yes. American points.
Wow. Yeah.
And somehow Luke Walton still has a job.
Yes. Yeah, you can fire him now.
Yeah, by the way, no Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley. 154.
Well, hey, man, maybe they're better. Maybe that's the recipe.
Sure. and so the Kings scored 105. That's the other part of that, is that not only did they score 154, but the Kings only scored 105. Yeah.
That's insane, man. That is
that's gonna help with the old point differential.
For real, single-handedly, you're right. That brings it up almost a point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
That's wild.
But the Jazz overall have not played all that great without Mitchell and Conley. And okay. So like that game's probably winnable. The Nets, we have no idea night to night who's going to play for them. So that one's winnable too, because the Nets may just be like,
Well, we're pretty sure there will be no Harden.
You know, Kyrie may want to, Kyrie may have something very important to do with his spiritual self to do. I will take that seriously. So like these games are winnable, but it gets real tough from here on out. However, I will say this. If the Nuggets were to win tomorrow on the back-to-back versus Toronto, the game on Saturday is for tiebreaker. The Nuggets could go up a full game on the Clippers with tiebreaker in that game.
I think you're right that that's the game the Clippers look at. And they think if we win this one, we go up two games on the Nuggets
with tiebreaker,
and we win it. And guess what? It's Wednesday. The Clippers' next game is Saturday. So the Nuggets play tomorrow, and then they got it. So the Clippers get 3 days off, which is so rare in this season.
Yep,
they get that to prepare for that Nuggets game. I just that's tough. That's tough for Denver.
Now the other thing I will say is, this is like the good news, bad news. Hey, the good news is you might be able to beat the Clippers and take control of the three seed. The bad news is the Lakers, after their loss to the Wizards tonight, are now just one game up on the Mavericks
for
five seed. So, like, there's a possibility that the Nuggets could claim the three seed and still face the Lakers in the first round.
That'd be that's the worst case scenario, actually.
Yeah,
it's that one.
Elsewhere in the association, the Blazers got back on track. They beat the Pacers last night, beat the pants off of them, and then absolutely smoked the Grizzlies to prevent the Grizzlies from sweeping them. Tonight, the Blazers are touting themselves as being quote unquote back. They're now up two games in the loss column. They still trail the Mavericks in the loss column, but they're up two on the Grizzlies and Spurs, and the Warriors are now just one game behind the Grizzlies and Spurs in the playoff race. Here's a take I just have to say. So, here's the thing. I was talking to somebody today about Chris Paul and about, because they were trying to understand, like, how can this guy really be an MVP candidate? And I was like, well, look, I don't think he is, because I value, like, to me, you have to have the objective evidence that we talked about earlier, right? Like, I believe in the value of concrete evidence. Like, I need to be able to point to this and say, like, well, no, like, the team is X points better with him on the court versus Y. And his overall production in this metric is, you know, Z versus whatever. I try and synthesize all of those and the eye test and like everything. Cause like, I want the most comprehensive view when I talk about MVP. But if you're just a guy that talks about it from the perspective, not a guy, a voter that just talks about it from a narrative perspective, and the most important thing to you is winning, Chris Paul's got a case. It's not a case that I agree with, but it's a sound, logical case to be on the ballot. I don't think you can argue that whatever parameters he operates under, he's been more valuable than Jokic. I'm saying that the question is that I presented was whether or not Chris Paul belongs on the ballot of like 1 through 5, right? And somebody was like, how could you possibly argue that he is more valuable than Curry? Look, I just got to say this. I'm sorry. I'm glad he hits a lot of threes. Maybe if you make your teammates better, you won't get absolutely annihilated by the Mavericks and you can beat somebody over 500, which they can't do. Like at some point, we need to talk about the fact that Steph Curry, for as great as he is, all that gravity. Oh, the gravity. It doesn't matter if Klay Thompson isn't the one catching and shooting. If it turns out that it's Nico Mannion, that result works out a little bit differently. The Warriors are in the playoff race right now because of their defense. Not because of Curry. They are a top-tier team defensively. With Curry on the floor, they are good, absolutely. The numbers are great with Curry. Curry's obviously the best shooter alive. I'm just saying, if you give that team Chris Paul, I think they're probably a little bit better.
One time I was doing a show with Anthony Irwin, and he went on a rant about Luka Doncic being not good. And everybody thought it was me and added me all day, just you saying, what was this? So I just want to make something clear. That Steph Curry piece at HP Basketball, not Adam Adams. That was at HP Basketball. That was him. I heard the take just like you did. I'd listened to it. But that was Matt. That was not Adam.
I'm just saying, at some point you need to make your teammates better. This is a thing that needs to happen. You do like, but this is also is actually a thing, because one of the reasons that I still think that Nash deserved it over Kobe in 2006 was like, that was the argument for me. It was like, well, I value making your teammates better. Yeah. I think that's an important part of basketball. Like, and honestly, under that paradigm, who's more valuable than Jokic? Like, who makes their teammates better than Nikola Jokic? Every other candidate, if you weigh them on that scale, who makes your teammates better?
Well, like, yeah, for sure. The thing about the MVP is that it's purposefully, like, there's not a this is what it takes. But over the years, there has become an unofficial this is what it takes. And that's the thing that we're trying to weigh. Like, Jokic, even as a 4 seed, and it looks like he will be the 4 seed, him winning that is a stretch just because usually it's a 1 or a 2 seed. So I think what's happening with the Chris Paul thing, in an effort to totally not hand it to Jokic, because for whatever reason, nobody wants to do that, or people, at least the talking heads, don't want to do that. You start to go like, well, by traditionally, we only do 1 or 2 seed. It's not Utah. It's not Brooklyn. It's not Philadelphia because missed games. And I think it's just like, all right, what about Chris Paul? He kind of checks this unofficial set of criteria that whatever reason we agree upon. But the truth is, this is the year where it's funny. People are actually talking about most valuable as actual value. And that's why Jokic is going to win.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is, it was that criteria, top 2 seed, best player on the top 2 seed. It's like just been that. And this is the year that people are finally like, okay, it's all of it. Is the games missed? Have you, has your team been able to count on you? It's, what does it look like when you're on the court? Are you the engine of the team? Are you anchoring this?
Oh, you're saying you start with the parameters and work backwards. I see.
And work backwards rather than just let's look at the top 2 seeds and say, which is the player there?
I see that. I get what you're saying. I mean, I do think that, like, the reason that's always been there is because I think winning is paramount, and I think winning should be paramount. But the problem is, like, if we look at the records, the Denver Nuggets sit at 41-21, 20 games over 500. Good grief. What a turnaround from where they were to start the season. And the Philadelphia 76ers, by the way, Adam, 41-21. So it's like, look.
Hilarious.
If your candidate is Joel Embiid, and your argument is because Jokic hasn't won enough, they have the same record, but one plays in the much tougher conference versus much tougher teams. And, like, look, I think sometimes the West versus East stuff is overblown. It's not this year. Like, I mean, you compare these teams, like the 1 versus 1 across the board, like the Jazz versus the Nets. Okay, sure. I'll give you that. Like, I think the Suns are a better team than the Sixers. I think the Clippers are a better team than the Bucks. I think Nuggets or the Knicks better? Like, come on. What are we What?
Hawks or the Lakers?
love the Knicks story. Faco Campazzo would fit very well on that team. But, like, in general, you think I was done? Did you think I was just going to – I gave you the first segment. I'm back, baby. So anyway, interesting night in the NBA in terms of how everything shook out. The biggest thing I would say is that there's a real instability with the 5 versus 6 with Dallas and LA. And I don't know how that's going to turn out. Like, I usually have a pretty good sense. Like, I will tell you this. If the Nuggets lose to the Clippers on Saturday, I don't see any way that they get the 3. If they beat the Clippers, it's still going to be the shaking the 8 ball and it being unclear. Check back later. The biggest problem,
50-50, even if they beat the Clippers,
I need to explain this. And the reason I want to explain these things is because I get asked about them on both social media and podcasts and locker rooms and stuff like that. Everybody's like, well, why can't they get past the Clippers? This is the biggest problem. The Clippers only have 8 games remaining. The Nuggets have 10. If you're wondering why that matters, if they both have 21 losses, the Nuggets have 2 more chances to lose.
Right.
Like, this is why I always say, like, you don't, like, somebody today was like, but they're only 2 games back. I was like, in what column? And they're like, total games. I was like, don't pay attention to that. Doesn't matter. Don't ever pay attention to that. Only pay attention to the loss column. You can't make up losses.
Yeah. So, you think Dallas or the Lakers, though, for the 5 seed? What's your sense you get there?
My sense really is the Mavericks. I really think there's a good chance it's going to be 4 or 5 Mavericks Nuggets because,
man. Come on.
The Lakers are just, I mean,
they're not good.
This is what I honestly do. If I'm trying to get a sense for a team and I'm watching and I can't really get, like, a clear sense of what's going on because of the opponent and whatever, pay attention to how Twitter reacts, their team's Twitter reacts. And, like, there's a lot of anxiety on Lakers Twitter right now because they're just like, this team is not good. Like, LeBron's got to fix everything. And like a lot of this is, if you go back and do it, the bubble was just mostly like Anthony Davis shot jumpers really well. That's really why they won the title. Great team, great defensive team, great defensive team. But it was the difference maker. The reason they won the margins so decisively was because Anthony Davis held his jumpers. I don't know what a better outcome is. Do you have a better chance of winning versus the Mavericks than the Lakers? Yes. But if you were to lose to the Mavericks, that's probably more disappointing than losing to the Lakers, right?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know that. I know I want the Mavericks because I'd rather – I'll set myself up for more pain, the possibility of more pain, if it's weighed in the balance against the more likely reward. So but that's the highest – people, oh, that's why people always talk about don't get too high or too low with sports. Yes, you do. Get high and get low. That's what it's all about. Feel that wide range of emotions.
Ride the coaster.
That's the point of going. You go to a game, you scream, right? You cheer. You do things that you wouldn't usually do if you're just sitting on your couch.
I will say this, Mavericks fans, you and I both know a very cranky one. That the Mavericks fans. They want the Nuggets. They think that.
Well, who wouldn't want the Nuggets? You know, over and this is why I think the Lakers will probably get it. Is if you have to go up against the Clippers or the Nuggets in the first round, the Clippers or the beat up Nuggets, you that's such a big difference. If you're the Lakers, that's a huge difference. I think LeBron plays 47 minutes a night for the six games he comes back for.
You want me to mention this earlier, so I just want to drop it. Since the Aaron Gordon trade, despite losing Paul Murray, Monte Morris, and Will Barton, the Denver Nuggets are 14-3, which is the best record in the National Basketball Association.
Crazy.
Since March 1st, they are 22-6, which is also the best record in the NBA in that span.
The funniest is that we talk about those three losses. One of them was to Boston, which was kind of a high profile, you know, fourth quarter collapse. The other two, nationally televised games against the Warriors where they kind of get spanked. And it's funny because I don't know how many people are aware that Denver has the best record over that span in the NBA, because you watch them, only see them on national television. You're like, these guys suck.
Yeah, I brought this up on Locked On NBA, which you can check out. I guest hosted on Thursday with Ben Golliver. I brought up Michael Malone in terms of Coach of the Year. He's not going to win it. Either Quinn Snyder or Monty Williams are going to win it, and Tom Thibodeau has an outside chance of grabbing it at the very end, which I think is
all good ones. Yeah.
Yeah, like I can't argue with Tibbs. Like as much as I want to be like fourth seed in the East, I'm also like, you're starting like Elfrid Payton, Derrick Rose, or Emmanuel Quickly. Like Julius Randle's your best player. Nerlens Noel is your best center after losing Mitchell Robinson. Like, okay, yeah, Tibbs has coached him up. I'll give you that. But I do think that like Malone deserves a few mentions. Like one, like I hadn't really thought of it like this until tonight. The Nuggets have a better record than the Lakers. The Nuggets have a better record than the Heat. The Nuggets have a better record than the Celtics. Of the four teams that made the conference finals last year, the only team that's a top four seed is the Denver Nuggets.
That's like, crazy. I didn't think of it in that terms, but you're right. That was the final four.
Despite Michael Porter Jr. missing time due to health and safety protocols, which, look, everybody's got a guy they can point to with that. But key part of the team, couldn't get him integrated, all those struggles. But also, like, the job that he specifically did with Porter. After that Celtics game, do you know how easy it would have been for a coach to lose him?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For as hard as he's been on him, and I know that frustrated people, he also put Porter in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
And he built it, and like that team collectively built him back up after that Celtics game. And I've never seen anything like it. To see a kid come in so highly touted to hit that low of a rough point and then get to where Porter is now. Like, one, I have to respect Porter's resilience.
Yeah,
but two,
he's more resilient than people realize. He does deserve a lot of credit for that.
The team to support him and to encourage him and to enable him and to build him back up just as much. A lot of the Nuggets talent is homegrown, and they're piecing the rest of it together with duct tape. Like Shaq Harrison is getting major minutes. Austin Rivers played 27 minutes tonight. Like at some point, as great as Jokic is, and he is the MVP, Michael Malone also deserves a lot of credit for what he's built in Denver in terms of a team that, I'll say this, it doesn't matter what punch you throw at them. They're coming back and they're going to swing again. If until the bell rings, they are going to keep swinging. And I have honestly, Adam, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
All right. That'll wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Leave us the 5-star reviews. Some of you have left nice comments about me, and that makes me feel really good because I know everyone loves Adam. He's easy to love. And so thanks for doing that. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Nuggets. Make sure to tune in for our locker room on Friday at noon.
That's right.
I'm going to record it.
I look forward to those every single week.
I am recording it locally so that we have a copy this week, no matter what. So that will be an episode this week. I'm solving all the problems for us with our recordings this week on Locker Room. But those have been a lot of fun. Make sure to join us there. We'll be back tomorrow night after post game for Toronto Raptors on the back-to-back. Thanks for joining us. Stay safe out there. We'll see you guys again next time on Locked On Nuggets.